Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me today is David Hulley and Ben Weeks. In this episode, we will be previewing the upcoming match performed tomorrow night against Wolves on the road. Before that, we'll have another segment of the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable, which includes us debating questions I put on the Cottage Talk Facebook page for the fans to comment on. And today, we have two very interesting topics to break down. We do have a full show, but it looks like one of my co-hosts is on the line. I'm going to bring him on. It looks like it's probably David. David, how you doing? Would this be David? It's like I am having dead air here. Let's see. Let's try that again. Whoever that was, please dial back in. For some reason, I was getting dead air, and hopefully whoever my co-hosts do call back in, we'll get them back on to get this show started. I do want to mention again that we, you know, listen, major thank you for listening to our show yesterday. We just had a show yesterday, Cottage Talk, extra time of the Millwall match. It was really a fun show to do. You know, I actually had the opportunity to do that with Mimi Morowicz and Mike O'Connor, and Steve Lydiard was actually able to join us at the very end. He will be on our show on Friday. Looking forward to speaking to him. Let me try David one more time. David, are you in?
Did you not hear me last time?
I could not hear you, David. I could not hear you last time.
Oh, I came on and do one of my new impressions for you, Russ.
Well, that's okay. I can deal without one of your impressions. How are you doing, David?
I was greeting you as Mr. Goldfinger rather than Mr. Goldman because I saw your James Bond reference yesterday.
Yes, you know, it's funny because I was really enjoying it. I'm a huge James Bond fan, and MGM HD had a James Bond marathon, and I got to watch From Russia with Love. I miss Goldfinger. Goldfinger was on, I believe, before that, but I'm a huge James Bond fan, David. You know that.
You know what? I am as well. I have all the films, so I could probably answer any trivia on them, probably. But, yeah, no, From Russia with Love was a great film because that, of course, was the sequel to Dr. No. And Dr. No was was quite tame by comparison. But From Russia with Love is when they started bringing in all the gadgets and everything else in. And, of course, the pre-title sequence is when you think Sean Connery gets killed, but it's then unmasked,
right.
a man with a beard. But anyway, we're not here to talk James Bond. We can do that on another show.
Maybe.
We can have a James,
no, we're
a
not,
James
but,
Bond
but,
show
but
one day.
No, I do want to mention this because, again, you as a James Bond aficionado, I believe this is the first James Bond that Q was involved. Is that correct?
Was he in Dr. No? Let me think.
I don't think he was in Dr. No, but...
He may have not been. Major Boothroyd is his actual real name, but no. There was one other where he missed, and I'm trying to think which one it was. But yes, he was... This is when they really started going on it with all the sort of James Bondy stuff, wasn't it? You know, and,
yes.
And the gadgets and everything else. There wasn't very many gadgets in Dr. No. It was quite modest, I suppose, really, by comparison, really. And then they just got more and more sillier and sillier. And then, obviously, the newer reboots have gone back to a little bit more like the older ones again, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, David, looks like we're just waiting for Ben to join us. He just messaged me. He needs me to send him the link again, which I'm going to do momentarily. So while I go ahead and do that, let's start with the first question I put in the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable, and we do have a good amount of responses to this. I'll start with you. Do you think Fulham should try to extend the loan of Ashley Jazz Richards until the end of the season? What are your thoughts on that?
No, not really. it's caused enough controversy already, I think, and I haven't seen anything to me that says he's an upgrade from what we have. Not really. Okay, he hasn't been with us long, and you should always give someone a fair time. But all it's done is divided the fans and upset people. And you know, Jack Grimmer was coming along okay, and you know, I think he was more than capable of keeping it warm until Hoogland was fit, and then Hoogland can be in contention as well. I mean, for me, it's always been the fact that Hoogland would come back into the team in that position. You know, perhaps Kit does have our ideas about him going in midfield, but for me, I'm surprised. I only thought it was going to be a short-term thing, Ashley Richards. But I don't see, you know, we just got rid of a few people. I'm not sure whether we want to increase the wage bill or not. For me, I'm not sure, really. I'm not enamored at this minute anyway.
Well, what's interesting, and again, we have to factor in that Hoogland's going to be back, David. So again, you're going to have Hoogland, Grimmer, and also Jazz Richards trying to take that right back position. Now, what's interesting, and again, I believe we even talked about this on other episodes. Tim Hoogland could play in the midfield if you wanted him to. I'm not suggesting it. I'm just saying he does have that ability to play multiple positions. But with him coming back, does this move make sense? And what does this mean for someone like Jack Grimmer?
Well, I think it would be pretty harsh for Grimmer. As I said, that he's got to compete with Hoogland already, and I think that's enough for me. Unless Kit really doesn't like Jack Grimmer suddenly and he wants to play Hoogland in midfield, I'm not sure why he feels he needs to get someone else. I thought this was just going to be a cover move, but I don't know. I mean, I know there's kind of the Welsh mafia in there sort of thing. Kit has these links to certain players. Perhaps he favours them over others, but out of the three I've seen so far, if it was just for his goal scoring alone, I would have Hoogland back in the team.
Right. Right, and it'll be interesting to see if Hoogland is back tomorrow night. David, it looks like Ben's with us. I'm going to bring him on. Ben, welcome back to Cottage Talk, my friend. How you doing?
Evening, Russ. How's it going? I was all right, thanks. And then I realised I had to talk about Fulham for a bit, and I got all introspective.
Well, listen, this shouldn't be too long of a show. I expect somewhere between 60 to 90 minutes we should be able to knock this one out. But I do look forward to going through this with you, Ben. Is there something you want to say before we go on topic? We were just talking about Jazz Richards. Any thoughts you want to talk about Fulham in general before we move forward?
About Jazz at Fulham?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I see in this for us, if I'm honest. I'm quite open to the loan system. It can work out quite nicely. But I mean, for a right back where we have a very obvious first team right back who is, on his way back from injury, and a youth player who is there and thereabouts about the first team in Jack Grimmer, I'm not sure where Jazz Richards fits in, particularly as he doesn't seem all that good to me. I mean, he doesn't make all that many tackles. He makes the fewest tackles of any Fulham defender, and only Zveretic made less interceptions. And, it's this whole thing of two players per position, really. And I know we have Hoogland out, but all the signs seem to be that he could well be starting tomorrow.
Right.
In which case, what are we doing with is Jack Grimmer out of favour? Because he was starting games not very long ago. No, I don't really see where Jazz Richards fits in the Fulham squad if we have Hoogland as first choice and Jack Grimmer as his able-bodied youth backup that is one of our own. No, I'm not on board with Jazz Richards.
Well, let me ask you this. Again, Grimmer's played more often than Richards. Can you see a difference between the two? Again, is Richards any better than Grimmer? And that's where I'm going on this, because I don't see that he's an upgrade to Jack Grimmer. And Jack Grimmer is one of our own players.
No, I'm trying to think. I'm just trying to argue this guys for a second here now. And I can't. He's not. I mean, he's quick, but so is Jack Grimmer. Yeah, he gets forward. He definitely gets forward. But so does Jack Grimmer. No, I'm not really sure where. Maybe he's just got the experience and the know-how to know. To face certain situations a little better than Jack has. But we have to get Jack up to that speed, and as backup to Hoogland, that's probably the place to do it. No, I don't think there's any. I'm with you on this, Russ, to be honest. I don't see that he is an upgrade, and I'd rather that we used one of our players in that place.
Right, and again, nothing against Jazz Richards. I really thought this was just going to be a short-term solution until Hoogland returned. But again, I believe that at the last presser, and it's all over the media right now, that Fulham are interested in extending him. And I honestly just don't get it. I don't understand it. When you have Hoogland pretty much ready to go, he could feature tomorrow night for all we know. And then you have Jack Grimmer, a player that is our own. He's a young player, but I haven't seen anything that has told me he's not prepared to play. I mean, I think, you know, again, is he the finished article? No, but again, I don't see any reason why you would go with a player that, again, is not our own player, and he's not an upgrade. That's where I stand on it, guys. And David, I want to get your thoughts on it. You know, again, nothing against Jazz Richards, but he's not our own player.
Well, Ben's basically, I don't think Ben probably heard me, but Ben's literally agreed word for word with what I said. That, you know, what's happened with Grimmer? Has he fallen out of favour? What's the point of keeping Richards? Is he an upgrade on what we have already? No. And Hoogland's the first choice, you'd think. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're all in agreement, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Well, we are. But I put this out to the phone supporters. I'm just going to read the comments on the Cars Talk Facebook page. We have a decent amount. And I'll start with Chris Cox. He said, no, Hoogland is back soon. Paul Smith said, no, bring back Hoogland. Roger Lewis said, although I don't think he is a lot better than Grimmer, I would try to keep him to provide a bit of competition for when Hoogland returns. So he's going with a different spin on that. Tomater Rahman said, Grimmer shouldn't have been replaced by him. It doesn't matter, though, considering we'll have Hoogland in a right back for us soon. So again, he's going with the idea that it doesn't matter because of Hoogland. But I'm still thinking of Grimmer himself. You know, again, a young player, you know, I don't want to stunt his growth. That's the way I'm looking at it. Ian Fox said, no, Grimmer and now Hoogland are in front of him, so send him back. Okay. Ben Reed says, yes. That's all he said. Simon Rugg went through a whole comparison. Simon, I just don't have time to go through your comparison, but it's a very interesting comparison between Hoogland, Grimmer, and then also Jazz Richards. You can actually see that on the Cars Talk Facebook page. I would recommend you checking that out. Chris Gilbertson said no. Lars Anderson, send him back. Hoogland and Grimmer will do. Jack Stanley wrote, yes, Hoogland isn't fit, and Grimmer is probably the worst form right back I've seen in 20 years as a season ticket holder. We've been traditionally blessed in that position, but he is appalling. Ben, I want to get your thoughts on that because I don't see it that way. Do you agree with Jack's comment there?
I'm not even going to sort of, you know, elevate that comment to a decent. No, I can't even. I'm struggling to formulate an answer to that. It's one of those nonsense hyperbole things that people say when they're just, you know, in that sort of frame of mind, which I understand, yeah. Where everything Fulham is bad. He's probably called Ruiz the worst Fulham player that he's ever seen. Sorry, David. You know, things like that. No, it's nonsense, isn't it? I'm not even going to bother answering that rubbish.
Okay. And again, listen. You know, Jackson told his opinion. I disagree. Obviously, you disagree too, there, Ben. But I just wanted to bring that up just as we're going through this because I don't agree with that comment, Jack. But you're entitled to it. Michael Connor, our co-host from yesterday's show, says, no, he has taken time from Grimmer, and this seems to be a theme here. Nick Bomenke wrote, no, as long as Hoogland is recovered once his month alone ends, we'd have Hoogland and Grimmer at right back, and Tunnelcliffe could sub in a pinch. Sanke Gorgos wrote, yes, we'll need Hoogland in midfield. So he's actually thinking about putting him in midfield, which I find interesting. All right, David, those are some of the comments from the forum supporters, and the majority of them seem like they're in agreement with us. What are your thoughts about what I read?
Well, to Jack, whoever it was, I think he needs to go and watch Kai Voza's performances at right-back for Fulham. Perhaps he needs to watch Zverotic against Blackpool's performance at right-back for Fulham. I could, like, and, you know, in my old age, I could name probably loads if I sit down and think about it, people who've played right back for Fulham and haven't been very good. I remember, now I'm not even going to go there because you won't even know who I'm talking about, but no, I think that's a bit
you
hard.
Can mention
someone,
it, David, maybe Ben will know.
No, well, listen, what we have to do is just set Mike Gregg on Jack, I think. That'll be enough, won't it? Because he's very protective of Grimmer. But no, I think that's unfair.
He's very protective of Grimmer. And listen, I think he's a player that has promise, and that's why I understood why Kip brought him in the first place. I do, because of the situation with Hoogland. But now that he's returned, it seems like he should go back. But again, all indications, you know, again, what I'm reading and what Kit has said in his presser on Friday is they would consider extending him, which I just disagree with. It sounds like the three of us are in agreement most of the Fulham supporters seem to agree with us. You know, again, you know, I want to see our young players progress. And, you know, honestly, I can see Hoogland anyways going back to being the regular right back. So, again, that to me seems like a better situation than having Grimmer be behind two people. But, you know, again, those are my thoughts and your thoughts, guys. And the Fulham supporters are, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. But I think it's an interesting discussion because I've seen so much talk about it. It was even in the papers today, you know, I'm talking about but that Fulham could be interested in extending Jazz, which is nothing against him personally, but he's not our player. I'm sorry, Ben, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah. I just something just occurred to me. Who killed Kay Vosa? What happened? Where is Kay Vosa?
It's something that we talked about on a prior show. I really don't know, Ben. It's a very good question, and I don't know what's happened to him. Again, there was speculation that maybe he was dealing with an injury, but there's nothing to back that up. He's fallen off the face of the earth. It's a very good question. I don't know.
I've genuinely forgotten about him until just now.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, he's still with the club as far as I know. David, have you seen anything about Voser?
Yeah, him and Adil Chihi have run off together. They've eloped to Gretna Green.
Okay, David. Okay. All right. Let's move on from the discussion of talking about Jazz Richards. And listen, I wanted to come up with a different type of question for number two, and it involves more of the championship in general, and also of some of the teams that we played. And I want to get your overall thoughts. And we've talked about it during the season, but I thought this would be a good time as we enter the last part of the season to really talk about this. So, Ben, I'll start with you. This Cottage Talk Facebook question was, which team do you think has been the best to play Fulham this season, and who do you believe will win the Sky Bet Championship? It's two parts.
Okay. Based on particularly when we've played them, I'm going to have to say Derby. That seems like the easy way out, given that they're currently heading the Championship. But the two times that they've demolished us entirely, and you know, I'm really looking forward to next week in that light. But they're the only team that I've seen that we've played against that I've really thought could cut it in the Premier League. I've seen a few teams that we've played, like Bournemouth, the other teams near the top, Middlesbrough, and I thought, you know, yeah, they're better than us. That's not too tricky. But none of these teams are going to cut it in the Premier League. They're going to come back down if they don't make substantial improvement, like most teams. And I've seen Derby a couple of times, and I thought, you know, they look like on the day they could be a Premier League outfit. And that's they'll win the league, as far as I'm concerned, if I can keep a bit of consistency. And won't that be disgusting to watch Darren Bent win the league?
I was just about to ask you that. You read my mind, Ben. I said the one thing that again. You know, I know many people that follow Derby County. Our good friend to the show, Andy Buckley Taylor, is a writes the Derby County blog, and I've talked to him several times that, you know, again, it drives me nuts that Darren Bent is scoring goals for them, Ben.
It's for want of a better word, it's nauseating, to be honest, given I watched him at bloody Sheffield United miss from 2 yards an open goal, and to see him banging him in for Derby, going to win the league, probably, and he's, you know what, he's found form. He's being like a quite good striker, actually, which is it's making me feel a bit sick just speaking about it, Russ. Because I mean, they're a good team, and you have to give credit. People have known for years that this Derby team, they went with the whole youth setup, and
they did,
and it would take a few years. And last year they were unlucky, and we all were rooting for them, obviously, given what happened. And I'm almost glad for them that it's come good, because they are now a proper solid team, and they've got some very good players, and then they've got Darren Bent, and it all sort of just brings it down a notch, unfortunately.
Well, what's funny, I've been following Derby County for a while, you know, and again, they were my championship team for, say, going back 3 or 4 years, and of course now we're in the championship, so I'm not a Derby County supporter, but I will say this. You just nailed it with them, Ben. They went through this phase of changing over to more of a youth team, and it's taken a couple seasons. And I look at them, and I look at them as a team to that Fulham should be looking at. So listen, this is how they did it, and we're kind of doing it in a similar way. And that's why, you know, again, if Derby County, and I saw Derby County, Ben, just to be honest with you, 19th, 20th spots just 3 or 4 years ago. If they can, turn it around and really look like they should be a Premier League side, so can Fulham. So can Fulham. You know, and that's the way I look at it, because I've watched several Derby County matches this year and years past, and they've slowly built to this point, but they did it on the youth end, and then they made the change with the manager. The change with the manager was the key pivotal moment for them, and that really changed their fortune. They were okay with Nigel Clough, but Steve McLaren has taken them to the next level, and they do look like a Premier League team. So I understand why you're going with Derby County for both points. David, Over to you.
Well, I looked the other day, and I'm not sure if it's changed since, but it's very funny. Well, it's not very funny, but it's the teams that we both tipped are still all the top six teams, I believe, aren't they? I think we said it was going to be Derby and Bournemouth going up, or Derby and Middlesbrough going up, and the other four in the playoffs, and it still is, Russ, isn't it? The ones we've seen in that show weeks and weeks ago.
It is.
And I don't think you can really look beyond Derby, as you said. I know it's an easy choice, but they play with, you know, strength and pace and width. And, you know, that's indicative, unfortunately. You know, you get someone like Darren Bent, who couldn't score at Fulham but can score there. And you've got to maybe look at yourself as well, because, you know, I know he missed some chances for us, but he still played in a poor Fulham side, a side that was relegated, a side that didn't score enough goals. And, you know, perhaps in a better side that creates chances for him, he will score. I mean, most people would score. Even Hugo would score, I'm sure. You know, Hugo has to live on very few chances sometimes. And when you've got a poor conversion rate, you need someone creating a lot of chances for you. So I think Darren Bent, he did score in the past. He proved he could score in the past. And much as, you know, Yanis will be sort of, you know, rolling his eyes up listening to this, I'm sure. You know, he showed he can score in a team that plays well and creates chances. You know, at Fulham, last year we were in turmoil, really. We still are a little bit. We still are, unfortunately, you know, and that is our biggest problem. I mean, I listened to your show yesterday, and, you know, and Mimi's talking about we should be playing Dan Burn. We just kept a clean sheet, you know. The defence hasn't been that awful. I mean, we have let a few goals in, but we just kept a clean sheet, and, you know, it's not at that end we need to worry. It's the other end, because we're not putting crosses in, we're not creating chances, we're not, you know, getting enough shots on target. And you know, and any striker would struggle. Unless you are Lionel Messi, you can take the whole team on and, you know, score yourself. You are reliant on the service, and you know, and Derby create that, and they've shown how devastating they can be, you know, against us and other people. So I think it would take a very brave person to bet against Derby, really.
No, listen, I totally agree with you, David. And again, what's interesting about them is that they're very deep as well. They have depth, and that to me is the difference between them and a club like Bournemouth. I think Bournemouth is very good also. I do. But I don't think that they can handle the rigors of the Premier League if they get there. I think Derby County possibly can because of their depth and the way that they've been built. And they, you know, and again, they play really attractive football, but beyond that, they're always attacking. That is McLaren's, you know, that's his philosophy. He always has them attacking. And you talk about this often, David. You know, the best defense is really a powerful offense, and that's exactly what they're doing at Derby County. That's why, you know, I picked them as a team to win the league. I'm going to stick by it because, again, I think they are the most dangerous team each and every match that they play, and I think they're going to win the league, and I think out of all the clubs that we played, I think they have been the most devastating playing against us. Bournemouth was very good, but I just think that they were, you know, it's funny, there'll be an argument here for Watford because of what Watford did to us. But I'm sorry, Watford's not at the same level as Derby County. They can't do it each and every match. Derby County can. And like you said, David, when you have a team that is, you know, that is really complete, then you can add a piece like a Darren Bent, and he can thrive, and that drives us all crazy, because again, you know, you're playing to his strengths. You know, again, he doesn't have to worry, but he can just concentrate on scoring goals, and that's what he's doing. And you know, and like you said, maybe we should be looking at ourselves. We were a poor side last year. You know, he was poor for us, but we probably were part of that as well, because he's certainly doing fairly well right now with Derby County. All right, here are some of the comments from the Fulham supporters, guys, on the College Talk Facebook page. Tom and Araman wrote, "If you mean by result, then Watford did well against us. I think Bournemouth will win the championship this season because this squad has the perfect playing style with each other." That's a very good point. Ben Reed said Derby, but Bournemouth will win the league. Michael Elliott said Derby and Derby. Lars Anderson said Derby is the answer on both questions. Michael Connor, our co-host, said Derby and Derby, no question about it. Alex Sainor wrote, Bournemouth for me. Let's see. Ben Easton said, Derby by far the best team in the league. Liam Burns said, Derby best team. Borough to win the league, though. Stephen O'Keefe says, I was impressed with Brentford, but didn't like to admit it. Derby, but think they'll win it. You know, again, I guess Stephen's going to go with Derby County. Roger Lewis says, all 18 above us, Borough to win title. Okay. All right, guys. David, what are your thoughts of the comments from the Fulham supporters? I do find it interesting that there were a few Bournemouths in there. What are your thoughts about that? And also, Liam Burns said Middlesbrough to win the league. I don't see that. I didn't think that Middlesbrough was that great when they played against us.
Well, I don't think you can rule any of them out because it's pretty tight at the top, isn't it? It's not,
right.
There's not a runaway leader as such, but we've seen Derby – you know, twice already, and going to see them a third time soon. And for me, I think obviously the way they turned around that 2-0 first half deficit, you know, was indicative of what they can achieve. Okay, we helped them slightly, shooting ourselves in the foot on half time, giving away penalty or whatever it was. But you know, they are all good teams. I mean, Bournemouth are a good team. I think I would agree. You know, the long-term view, certainly, you could only really expect Derby out of those to succeed and to flourish. Other teams, if Brentford were to get up, Bournemouth, you would expect they would struggle next season. Even Middlesbrough, perhaps. I don't know, because, you know, they've been a bit out of it as well, although they do
right.
have a better history. But, you know, you can't rule anything out happening. I mean, all these teams have got to come to Fulham, so we have a part in their destiny yet, don't we, you know?
We do.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's in a strange sort of twist that, you know, we have, you know, we can make or break their season, but I don't know. I just don't see how Derby will be fools if they lose it, because they have that extra motivation, of course, because last season, I think they finished third, didn't they? And then they lost it in the playoffs to QPR, which must be, you know, that must still really hurt them. And that's why they are doubly determined, I think, this year to make sure they do it at the first attempt. So,
yeah,
I think Derby for champions and you know, obviously, and the best team that I've seen this season.
Yeah, you know, and I totally agree with that, David. And listen, I watched some of their matches last year, and I'm here to tell you they're a better side this year. And like you mentioned, I think they're more determined, and because of what happened against QPR in the playoff at Wembley, you know, again, they want to make sure that they get it done this time, and they're in position to do it. They really are, and that's why I picked them to win the league. Still, Ben, what are your thoughts about some of the comments from the Fulham supporters?
Yeah, I think they're fair enough. It's I think it was mostly people there saying that Derby were the best team that they've seen play, which is, I think, the right answer, looking at the football. The Bournemouth comments were fair. Bournemouth have been playing some nice football. They've destroyed a few teams on their day, and it's, you know, that's a fairly subjective opinion. That's fine. It's the I was quite interested to hear the who's going to win the league opinions more, because it's an interesting league in that way. It's nothing like the Premier League, where we're all set on Chelsea already, basically. Sorry, I said that. Bad word.
That's okay. That's another pound. That's okay.
It's an interesting league. I mean, we essentially agree it's Derby, and I think a lot of people also do. But it's not like necessarily the best team is going to win. It doesn't. It's so tight at the top there that one slip against, like David says, against a terrible team like Fulham, will make a big difference to one of these teams.
Right.
And it's possible, you know, all it needs is that one slip. And I don't want to write off teams like Middlesbrough yet. They've been playing very well the last few weeks. Bournemouth are obviously up there. And I mean, even there's, what's it like, 7 points separating the top seven or something like that? It's mental.
It's very tight. It's very tight. It's normally not this tight.
No, I mean, it's not. The Championship is famously competitive and a tough league to get out of and all other footballing cliches that I hate. But any of those teams, it's hard to just say, you know, I still think Derby are the team that will do it if they can keep up the form they've shown, they should do it. But even as far back as Brentford, Watford, probably not Wolves, that would probably be my cut-off point because I don't think they're actually very good. But there's a lot of teams up there. And I'm not going to say that anyone's opinion on this match is anything other than fair. No one said anything ridiculous. Middlesbrough's, you know, is as good a shout as any.
Right.
I do agree with you, though. They're not the solid team that Derby are. And I stick to what I said about Derby being the only team that really looked like they could give it the Premier League a bit of a go right now. The other teams would need some work. But yeah, it's an open season in the Championship, and I'm quite enjoying it, to be honest. It's a nice distraction from our woes.
You know what, Ben? I'm glad that you said that, because I'm enjoying this. Listen, I know where Fulham are, but I'm enjoying being in the Championship. I want them to get back to the Premier League soon, okay? I want to stress that. But I'm enjoying the competitiveness of the Championship, and people have told me, you know, just wait till you get down there, because you're going to actually enjoy it, and I didn't want to hear that. But the people that told me that when their teams got relegated, I'm like, oh, they just got relegated. That's why they're saying it. But now that we're in it, I'm quite enjoying it. I really am. I'm quite enjoying the fact that they are in, you know, playing in this competitive league. You know, and again, I just wish that they were doing better in the competitive league. But I'm enjoying watching these matches when I can watch them. We'll just put it to you that way, because that's an issue I have. Mm-hmm. But that's because where I'm located. You know, again, that's my own personal thing because of the fact that I have to watch the replays. But I still, even, Ben, this is what's interesting. Even, you know, again, I know that I'm doing the show, but I do look forward to watching these replays, even when I know Fulham lost, even though when I know that Fulham played poorly, because this is my team, and I actually enjoy the competitiveness of watching these Championship matches. I do. I enjoy it. So I'm not gonna poo-poo people liking the Championship ever again, because I like it. I actually do like it. I'm enjoying it. I just wish Fulham were doing better. All right, guys, let's move on. Before we do our preview of Wolves, I got an interesting note to the Cutters Talk Facebook page. I wanted to read it to you guys and get your thoughts on it, because Stuart actually has emailed me before, and this actually is a little bit of a commentary on our show yesterday, where we talked a good amount about Kit Simons, and I guess you could say I ranted a little bit about how Kit needs help and how Kit really, you know, again, needs a number two, and he just needs another set of eyes, and he's not willing to change, and that he's stubborn. And this kind of goes to that, because we did talk a good amount about his stubbornness. So I'm going to read this commentary from Stuart Roberts, and then we will take it from there. This is from Stuart. He sent it to me this morning. Russ, I found it interesting that you and the guys thought Kit did so much wrong on Saturday and is stubborn and doing so much wrong generally, including making us relegation fodder, but you still want him as our manager. Of course, we would prefer him to do well, learn more quickly, and get it right. However, the fact is he's taking us backwards and is just not good enough. Sorry, and faith I had him has now gone. Try and get Warburton from Brentford and build towards next season. Now, we all did say on the show yesterday that we want Kit to return at least until the season's over. You know, again, I fully believe in that. And Ben, I'm going to go to you because I want to get your thoughts on this, on what Stuart sent me and your overall thoughts on what to do with Kit. Again, me and several other co-hosts were like, you know, we're not happy with what's going on with Kit, but we think he should finish the season. I haven't asked you your thoughts on it, so feel free to share it.
Well, it sounds like Fulham on repeat, this narrative, doesn't it? Manager needs more time. Is he going to get more time? Should we just sack him and get a new manager? It's become depressing, to be honest. I think we've done this four or times in the last couple of years, and all with justification. I can't argue that he doesn't have a point. Kit hasn't been learning necessarily. He's making the same old errors that you know, we're getting frustrated with. We're trapped in this box of frustration where we don't know quite how, you know, you don't want to take the risks that are going to ruin us, but at the same time, we're stuck in this mundane system. I can't slate him. I can't slate anyone for having the opinion that Kit's not working. This was the risk we took with taking a proper Fulham man, to use another cliche, and sticking him in charge and hoping for the best, almost, given on, you know, that the whole stint when he was the caretaker manager. But having said that, it's so hard to look at the long-term strategy. But we've just been talking about Derby. And I think it's all about now, how do we nurture, how do we best foster that environment? Are we really looking like, there's so many factors involved in this, Russ. We're not looking now at promotion this season. That's off the table.
No, we're not.
Shahid Khan might want that. That's gone. And if you know, if we had a bit more time, if we'd wiped off those 8 games at the start of the season, or whatever it was, the Felix McGaff era of the Championship, this would be the time where, you know, if things with Kit were slowing down, we could think, do we need another manager maybe that will give us that boost if we're still in the contention? Because maybe Kit doesn't have it right yet. Maybe we did need a Warburton or someone who knows what he can do, someone who can instantly come in and fix this team, the team that we have. But that's not going to happen. It's off the table, and we need to be looking forward. This season is a write-off, unfortunately.
Right.
You know, you've just got to enjoy match by match, and enjoy the development of our players, which is, you know, it's relating back to that first argument we had about Grimmer over Richards. We need to look forward, and it comes down to whether you believe that Kit, being, you know, the youth coach of a lot of these players, knowing Fulham, if he's going to help that nurture that, you know, and sustain that development. And I think I do. I really do. And it's getting harder and harder to defend that viewpoint every week, you know, if he sticks the same 11 out. But then you've got to think of the longer-term plan. He's giving Lassie Viggen Christensen and all these players like Bettinelli. I mean, there are big positives in that way.
Absolutely.
This is a big thread, Russ. It's very hard to answer such a question in such a environment. Yes, it's all about, I think Kit is the man that will bring these players through because he has obvious experience in these areas, and we're going to have to stick by it because we cannot keep twisting and just hoping that we're going to bring in something for an instant fix. At the end of the season, we reassess what we're looking for. Are we looking for a straight return back next season? Are we hoping for another year of progression and building a team based on what we have? And I hope, it's hard to say what we're going to do then, and it's hard to even know what I'd want at that point. But at this point, I think it's foolish, really, to think that we can want anything other than development until the end of the season.
And listen, I agree with that, Ben. And what's interesting about all this, and again, this goes back to me following 3 or 4 years ago, Derby County, from a distance, you know, again, I just became friends with these Derby County supporters, and they were talking to me about all their problems and all their development issues, and Nigel Clough was their manager, was brought in. And Nigel Clough took them to a certain level, and then obviously, to take them to the next level, they brought in McLaren, and that was the right move for them. But it was about development. It took a while. And that's why, again, for me, I'm willing to stick until the end of the season with Kit, because it is about developing this team and just hope and pray that we have enough just to get us through this season, and then we can assess next season. Is he the right man to develop this squad further? How quickly do you want to be promoted? Can he get us promoted next season? You know, again, those are questions for the end of I should say not for the end of the season, but for the beginning of next season. But I can't go on board of changing the manager now. I know how stubborn he is. I know how frustrating this is. It's growing pains. It's double growing pains. It's growing pains with the manager and growing pains with the players. And the only, you know, no, I mean, I'm used to this with American sports, except You have the threat of relegation. That's the thing that makes this different. If there was no relegation, I don't think there'd be any question in my mind that you stick with Kit no matter what, because he's going to develop this team and getting them pointing in the right direction. He's going to make his mistakes. But if you make too many mistakes, Ben, the issue is we are not that far away from the relegation zone. That's the fear, and that's why I understand why fans are so worried, because of the fear of relegation. And that's why I think it's important that we get victories soon to then concentrate on the development. If they get a few victories, then you can move forward. But the opponents coming up are extremely difficult, and he's going to have to figure a way. You know, he's going to have to work through this. This is really, I hate to put it, a lot of this is on Kit to get this team ready to go and to really get some points out of these next four matches, and they're difficult opponents, and get us away from that zone so then he can concentrate on development. Because it's hard to concentrate on development right now, Ben, when you have this threat of relegation. Do you understand where I'm going on that?
Yeah, of course. It's why it's hard to discount anyone's point of view, essentially, because there is, I mean, you always get, I hesitate to use the crisis, but you get fear of crisis and you look for, you know, what can you do quickly to get out of that crisis? And that's essentially what it is. But then you have to take the rough with the smooth. We're going to develop players. We're going to have, you know, side effects. And unfortunately, it's looking like the side effects are a little stronger than maybe what we wanted at this point.
Right.
And
right.
It is a balance of, you know, keeping the development but winning games. And there are so many threads involved in this. It's getting the balance between playing players like Ruiz, Ross McCormack and Scott Parker alongside, you know, it's just so many threads involved here, Russ. It's a big, big story at Fulham right now, and we can't just say manager in, manager out is going to solve anything.
Listen, I totally agree with you at this point. That's why I'm pushing it towards the summer. Let's get through this season. Let's see what happens. And hopefully, you know, hopefully we come out of this. And I truly believe we will. I truly believe we're not going to get relegated. And if this is all motivation from some of the supporters about the fear of relegation, I totally understand it. But I don't think we're going to get relegated. And if it's just about the fear of relegation, stick with Kip, because eventually we're gonna see ourselves out of this. And then let him develop the team. And if he's not the right man, what the owner, what Shah Khan make the decision this summer? Because, again, it really is, I agree with you, it is about development. But it's so interesting with the experienced players, like you mentioned, with the youth. There's so much going on. That's what makes it interesting and scary at the same point. David, I want to go to you. You and I have talked a great deal about the Kit situation. Anything else you want to add to it?
Well, it's always that question about where we want to go, what our vision is, what the timescale is. And I think, of course, we all want to develop a team and build a team and do it the proper way. But then we want instant success as well, I guess, in a way. We want to get back to where we were. Because at the moment, the light at the end of the tunnel is quite hard to find, because they're thinking, well, actually, this season's a write-off. At best, you know, we maintain our place in this division. Will next season be any better? Will there be something to look forward to? And you don't know, do you? And this is the issue. And the Kit quandary, you know, we're past the transfer window now. You think, yes, we want to give him to the end of the season at least, let him some time in the job and show what he can do. But as even Mike Gred said, and Mike's one of his biggest fans, of course, you know, supporters, even Mike's saying that, you know, a couple of bad results and he could see him get the push.
Because he did, you know, say that.
Yeah, because, you know, that's Mike I'm quoting, and, you know, I think it will be highly unlikely that would happen, but you can't rule it out, I guess. And the thing is that someone may push the panic button, because, you know, last season, you know, the wounds are very raw still, aren't they, from last season? And I know pushing the panic button last season didn't help at all, but nevertheless, you know, that falling into the abyss, we don't really want to be doing that again. And, you know, we're lucky that Blackpool and Wigan are not picking up points.
That's right.
So two of the places are kind of, at the moment, reserved for others. So there's only one place you can fall into. And you know, getting a point even against Millwall, it wasn't great, but it's kept the distance at least from them, you know. So we do have a slight cushion, but we're talking of a two-match cushion, that's all. Not very much. That could change very, very, very quickly. You know, so I think Kit has got to have till the end of the season. At the end of the season, if we really do scrape through by the skin of our teeth, you know, perhaps he's not, you know, it's time to look for someone else or have someone else in place. But
right.
I really
right.
don't
and
want to, I don't want to be going to where we were last year, not unless it really is dire, you know, a real emergency.
No, I hear what you're saying, David. That's why I think the three of us are kind of on a similar wavelength with Kit. I understand why fans want to change. I get it. It's the fear of relegation. I totally understand it. And like you were talking about, what's happened in the past and the situation that we're currently under, you know, fans, you know, again, some think that the best thing to do is to change the manager. I do understand that. In this case, I don't think it's the right move. I think it would be the wrong move. I think you have to stay the course right now and see this season through and hope that we are okay. And what's interesting, and I'll share this with you, David, because I saw an interesting tweet from Andy Glockner. I don't know if you follow him on Twitter, but Andy Glockner tweeted this out. He said the three matches that could determine Fulham's fate are against Wigan, against Blackpool, and against Rotherham. Those are all three matches that Fulham, honestly, two out of the three are at home and Blackpool's on the road. They really should win all three. If they don't win all three, guys, they don't deserve to stay in the league, honestly. Because these are three matches that they should be winning. And, you know, and we forget about these matches because we see the matches coming up. But later on during the season, there are going to be opponents that they should be able to beat. But I'd like to see them do something against these opponents coming up. And we're going to talk about Wolves, and I'll be curious your thoughts on that. So let's transition and talk to Wolves. And, David, do you want to call back in now? You want to do that now?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll do that now.
Okay, why don't you do that now? Because we'll probably go just a little bit over. We'll spend a little bit of extra time. We won't go the full 90 minutes, Ben. We'll probably go like an hour and 15 minutes. But David usually has to call out and call back in, so he'll be on in 1 second. So while I wait for David, I'll just give you a little bit of information, and David's already back with us. A little information on Wolves. They are currently eighth. They've won 14. They have 9 draws. They have 9 losses. They've scored 49. They've given up 43 for a goal differential of 6. And they are currently on 56 points. And like I mentioned, they are 8th. Compared to us, Fulham, we're 19th. We have 10 wins, 6 draws, 16 losses. We've scored 44, which really isn't a hell of a lot of difference than Wolves. But we've given up 55 for a minus 11 goal differential. And we're on 36 points. Just to tell you a little bit more about them, in the month of February, Wolves are 2-2, but they are coming off of a 5-0 victory against Rotherham, so that's significant. Players to watch, again, you guys are probably familiar with these two players. Dicko has 10 goals. Bakary Sakho has 8 goals. These are two dangerous players to watch for in this match. And in the last two matches, they've had two different formations. They played a 4-4-2 in the match before. They played a 4-2-3-1, so they do change it up a little bit, but it's pretty consistent. And, you know, again, this is a team that you know, at times can be fairly impressive, but can be beatable. You know, it's definitely a team that I think Fulham can get a result in. But I'll be curious your thoughts. And Ben, I'm just going to start with you. You know, now Fulham went down to Wolves again. It was in the FA Cup. They were missing a few players. I believe Dicko came off the bench, and Sakho, I think, was away at that point. So it wasn't a full-strength squad, but it wasn't really a full-strength Fulham squad either, if I can remember. But they did, they were able to win that cup tie on penalties. But again, overall, what are your thoughts about Wolves?
Well, on the occasions we've met them this season, including that snowball fight, the other week, I haven't been that impressed by Wolves, if I'm entirely honest. In fact, in a sort of depressing way, I see quite a lot of similarities with ourselves. You know, they've got this wealth of attacking talent, in a way, with Sakho, who's, you know, he's been linked with all sorts of clubs over the years, Dicko, Benikophobe. But they're not scoring many, like you said. I think, did you say we've actually won more games than them, which I didn't know?
They've won 14, we've won 10.
They've won 14. Well, you know, it's not They haven't. They're not doing as well as maybe I think as I thought they would have done. They're not impressing me, which I was surprised about, because I thought they'd do a bit better with that. They've got some really good players. Going back to that sort of the parallels of Fulham, you know, they've got Kevin McDonald, who is running the midfield for them, a bit like our own Scott Parker. The difference, probably the main difference between us and Wolves, and we do play a very similar game. Well, we play what I wish we played, which is the possession, passing, keep the ball, that sort of game.
Right.
But the difference is that they concede goals, and we really, really do. Only just become the team that hasn't conceded the most goals. That's Huddersfield now, is it? Or maybe it's Blackpool. Maybe it's Blackpool. Whilst Wolves, I think only Norwich and Bournemouth have conceded more, which is a scary stat. Going up to Molineux tomorrow, to think that, you know, we're not scoring goals, they're not conceding them. I've not been impressed by them, but I think you're right. I think we can get something. We just have to be really careful. We need to close down Kevin McDonald, because he's the best player in the league at the moment. He's completing a lot of passes. He's keeping them ticking over in the middle, and we have to really watch their dangerous front, not even pairing, the three of them. They've got Benikofobi, who's got a scary goal to game ratio. He joined them. I think he's got a 0.71 goals per game. That's outrageous in the Championship. That's terrifying, actually, which I hadn't looked. It's hard to say a lot about Wolves. They should be better than they are. They're playing a nice style of football. They keep the ball, they play short passing. But they're not scoring that many. They're just pretty average. That's kind of what I thought we could be if we didn't concede so many goals. I do think when we played them, we've looked like we've got the match of them most of the time. I don't have a lot to say about Wolves, unfortunately. They're just a bit of a meh, which is nice of them. At least there's not so much to talk about as there is with us, in a nice way.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying, Ben. And it's funny, because watching them, they look very dangerous, but again, the results aren't what maybe they should be. You know, like you said, they can play some really good football, but they're not getting the results that maybe they should be getting. But they do have some dangerous players. You named three of them, and Fulham are going to need to really track those three players tomorrow, definitely. And then you also mentioned Kevin McDonald, who's going to run the show. So, you know, Fulham have their work cut out for them. David, what are your thoughts?
Well, the funny thing is, a couple of the guys I play football with are Wolves fans, and they go to most of the matches, even though it's a couple of hours away from here. And this guy, the main one who goes, he makes me look like you in terms of optimism. My God, he always has a downer on Wolves, you know. Everything is like so doom and gloom. It comes back, what a load of rubbish they were. And, you know, the way he talks, you think they were at the bottom, honestly, because he never really has a good word to say about them. So, you know, he feels that they've got a lot of flaws to their game. Obviously, they haven't got as many overall as we have. Table doesn't lie and all that one again. You know, when we saw them, you know, play, you know, obviously we're talking about Sacco and Dicko. But then also Dave Edwards has been quite dangerous, what I've seen of late. You know, he got goals against us and he scored again at the weekend. And it's not just about a one-man team there, really, Wolves. I mean, Sacco was even linked to us at one point, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He was.
Apparently he was going to sign for us. But, you know, I think, yeah, they're a reasonable side, but they're not in the top group. I mean, to make the playoffs, you know, they're going to have to do really well, and someone else has got to slip up, I think. I certainly wasn't impressed with them really when they came to Craven Cottage that much. You know, we did pretty well against them up at Molineux in the Cup match. But I think it's not going to be easy, because we're on a bit of a downer at the moment as well. You know, and it's a hard... Midweek games can be hard to go away to. I was reading that, you know, we haven't sold many tickets for this one. There's going to be only a small following for Fulham to cheer us on. So, you know, and I can't blame people really, because voting with their pockets and their feet, it's difficult to get time off sometimes midweek, and the way things are at the moment, it hasn't been very inspiring, unfortunately. So,
yeah.
I think, you know, for Wolves, I don't think they're that hard to beat, but whether we can do that, it's going to be a harder test than it was at Millwall, and we didn't manage to beat them. So I would have thought Wolves would feel fairly confident, really, because they are at home, and they have got their players back that they didn't have previously, with, say, Sacco, namely, isn't it? So
yes, it's Sacco who did not play in the last match.
You know, and say with Dicko and Dave Edwards and, say, Kevin McDonald wasn't in midfield. You know, they have got a fairly, formidable thing. It's not like, they have one star player and you can mark him out of the game. And that's like Derby County in a way. You know, that's where Derby are very difficult because, you think, well, we'll mark Chris Martin or we'll mark whoever, but someone else pops up.
Yep.
And that's really, where Fulham are a bit light, I think, that, we do rely maybe much too much on certain people, maybe, LVC or McCormack, and if they stop doing what they do, it's more difficult. Kaká hasn't consistently been, he doesn't beat his man enough, he doesn't get enough good crosses in. He does some great little runs, but perhaps he gets dispossessed too easy. And Ben, I'm sorry, old Brian Ruiz, to bring him up again. He played a wonderful pass at Millwall, and you would think that, it was one great pass. I mean, I could play a pass like that. I do every week. I play one good pass every week. But
not in the championship.
You've got to play.
Come on, David. Don't put yourself in the same realm as Brian Ruiz. I know how you feel about Ruiz. Don't go there.
No, I played a fantastic pass on the outside of my right foot to Mini Corley Woodrow for him to score last week. And, it was great. But, it's Ruiz has got, he played one good pass, you think that all our problems are solved. They're not. I mean,
David, you're unbelievable. You cannot go through an episode without complaining about Brian Ruiz somehow.
No, but I'm just trying to stay the point that we don't have really... we don't have the strength in depth that these other teams have. We have people who are almost players, people who do a bit, consistently inconsistent, you said yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes.
And that's unfortunately where we are. And even McCormack and LBC have been like that of late, really. And so I think Wolves have the upper hand on paper going into this game.
Right. Well, listen, I understand why they have the upper hand, why you feel that they have the upper hand. The one thing that Fulham do have going for them, and I know that it wasn't a full-strength squad for either team, Fulham went down there and did get a result, and that does say something. And they should feel confident, because they played there recently, that they can go down there and do it again. They should feel confident. I'm talking about Fulham should feel confident. Why not? Again, they should feel that, David, you yourself said when they played Wolves at Craven Cottage, you weren't that impressed with them. So, again, they should feel that they can go there and get something out of this match. That's my feeling on it. And, again, I hope they do feel confident. They should. That's just my feeling on it. I see what you're saying. Of course Wolves should be favored in this match. It would be ridiculous for me to say that Fulham should be. But the Fulham players should feel that they can get something out of this match. They should feel confident. All right, David, back to you. Let's talk about the ref. Have you done your research on the ref?
Well, I have really bad news for us, because I looked at the wrong week. I looked at next week's refs, and I saw we've got the terrible Mike Jones at home for the match on Saturday. The awful Mike Jones, one of the worst refs going, And then for the Watford match, the one I mentioned before as being the worst ref in the Football League, supposedly, Trevor Kettle for that one. So for the next two matches after this one, we have really awful refs.
Great.
But if I'm on Friday, I think I'm on Friday. We can I'll talk about Mike Jones then, because he struggles in the Premier League. Anyway,
okay.
So yeah, the ref tomorrow is Graham Salisbury. We had him quite recently actually at the Cottage. I think he was okay. He's pretty ancient, but he seemed to do okay that game. So I don't have. Out of the next three matches, he's the one I'd be least worried about anyway.
Okay, well, that's good news. At least for this match, we don't have a controversial ref. I do like that. All right, David, right back to you, and then I'll go to Ben. What do Fulham need to do to win this match? I want to talk about getting all 3 points. What do they have to do?
Well, they're going to have to stop all the key men of Wolves performing. I think they're going to have to... they have to be strong on the wings, because I remember Sacco in the home match in the cup, that was, wasn't it? No, the cup, where I'm going on. When was Sacco played us? Anyway, whenever it was, when Sacco played. No, it was in the cup, wasn't
it? At Craven Cottage, David.
Yeah, it was in the cup. And he was he kept popping up on different wings and everything, you know. He was on the left, on the right, coming through the middle. So I think, once again, we really got to double up. We've got to ditch this diamond. I thought we'd ditch the diamond on Saturday, but then when you look at the heat map and whatever, the average positions, everyone was so narrow, weren't they?
Yes.
So Sacco likes to operate coming in wide from the right or the left. So we've got to play with some width, certainly play with some width. I know Molyneux is a bigger pitch than the Cottage, but still, we've got to play with width. Maybe even the dreaded 4-5-1. Maybe it's time to, you know, to lose one of the strikers and to try and be strong all the way across the park from wing to wing. So because we've got to stop them in midfield and we've got to stop them wide. And we've got to, you know, that's the important thing. Because if we concede that early goal, we go behind, we're going to struggle to get back into the game, I think. So for me, don't concede an early goal. Be strong early on. And then gradually take the game to them.
So for you, you're talking about only having one striker up front.
Potentially, yeah.
Okay. And David, I'm actually going to, again, we're going to get into formation and also your starting 11, but I actually agree with you for this match. But I'll be curious Ben's thoughts. Ben, how do you think Fulham need to play in this match? What are the keys for you in this match?
Let me just come straight at what David said. I worry that coming off the back of such a negative spiral that you want to focus on our weaknesses and their strengths. I think that's a spiral of doom, unfortunately. I think, you know, if kids, we need to go out and, you know, stop Wolves, it's just going to repeat itself. We're not going to stop Wolves. We'll try for 60 minutes and then they'll score and that'll be the end of it. I think we need a fresh approach. I think we need to focus on our own strengths. We have a lot of them. Of course, we've got to stop the wingers, Saka and whatever. But that's, you know, that's doable if we play the right way and the right players. But as far as approaching this game is concerned and what we have to do, I think it's time we take advantage of what we have. And man for man, we really do. And we all know this. And it's why we're so frustrated. We have one of the best squads still in the championship. We have some of the best players. Let's think about maybe using them. We're getting in this sort of, can we battle in the championship? We tried it a few times. We only really have one, maybe two players that are really, you know, we're talking Tunnicliffe and Parker, that are proper battlers. The rest are flair players. And maybe it's time to just, you know, admit that and try and use that to play around teams, make them worry about us rather than saying, oh, got to watch Sarko, make sure we play with four defensive midfielders or whatever. We need to... I'm hoping, you know, he really reinvigorates the team in that way, comes out with something fresh, makes it clear that this is almost a fresh start. Here's a new formation. Let's not play the same 11. We can't go crazy, obviously. We can't be playing a ridiculous sort of formation that we've never played at Fulham. We need to make sure that we're something the boys can do. But I think it's important that we don't become too negative, because we have been so negative. And we're not, I mean, we saw that at Millwall. We're not getting, we created nothing. I think apart from that Roddy Yeager chance at the end, which let's not even talk about because it wasn't offside. I mean, we barely looked like scoring. And I'm worried that maybe if we get sucked into worrying too much about it, I suppose it's natural when we're in a situation of possible relegation, God forbid. But I think we need to look a bit upward. I hope we're a bit more optimistic, and I hope that's what we do. We need to think, let's attack. Let's play Brian Ruiz. Let's use him. Let's use LVC. That sort of stuff, you know. Let's be optimistic.
Okay.
And I really think it's all impetus in this game.
Okay. And that's a very interesting take that you have, Ben, because it's different than the approach it sounds like David wants to take in this. So I'm going to go right back to you. Give me your starting 11. This isn't what Kit's going to do. I want to stress this. This is what you would do as the full manager and what formation you would use. You already kind of mentioned you wouldn't go with anything crazy that Fulham have never played before. So give me your formation and your starting 11 that you think could actually do a job against Wolves.
So Okay, not what Kit's going to do. It's going to be the skewed sort of 4-3-3 that I advocated last time I was on the show. I think that was, who was that, versus Bolton, maybe. It allows us to play to our strengths. It's not the diamond that we've all grown to sort of love, and it allows us to play slightly wider than previous, but it still incorporates all the elements of Ruiz playing centrally, allowing LVC, Tony Cliff to, you know, help out Scott Parker, but also get down the sideline. So the side, the team would be Bettinelli, Hoogland if he's fit, because I think we all agree that's important. Hutchinson,
yep.
Bodjarov, and Stafelidis. You know, I'm not in the camp of Stafelidis is terrible yet.
Okay.
I don't think he's as bad as people make out. He's not great, but you have to remember he is essentially a youth player. I think he's 21. He's not a finished article. Scott Parker is probably the most important player on our team, except Ross McCormack. Ryan Tunnicliffe on the right, sort of just ahead of Parker, and LBC even slightly further advanced on the left. And we will play Brian Ruiz in that central zone, and I'm struggling to describe this in a way that it does not look like a diamond. But if you look at my Twitter, I've put up an image in which this is sort of not the case. And then we play with a front two of Ross McCormack and Cooley Woodrow. Ross McCormack slightly dropped, just slightly dropped, not into a number 10, not at all. Nothing like that. More like a centre forward. Slightly to the right, because he really does work well just on the inside channel where he can put in the balls for a knockdown, say. And I think that's the most important thing, is that whoever's working alongside Ross McCormack needs to step up, because Hugo Rodriguez and Cooley Woodrow, they've done their bit, and it's hard to have a go at Cooley. He's still young and he's contributed in parts. Like McCormack's been carrying that forward line too often, so whoever he plays with needs to make a real go of harassing that Wolves back line and holding up for Ross. We remember that game against Nottingham Forest, and one of the things that really went unmentioned was how good a job Hugo Rodriguez for McCormack. That's something that I'm hoping that we'll see from there tomorrow.
Okay, so you're going to go with a 4-3-3.
It's essentially a 4-3-3, yeah.
Okay. Interesting formation. Interesting starting 11. I kind of like it, David. I'm curious what you're going to come at me with.
Well, it was a strange 4-3-3 because it sounds just like the diamond, basically. But it's just kind of let's play the diamond, but call it something else to appease all the diamond haters, shall we? Yeah. But Ben, no, you're fine, mate. I think, you know, Russ has met his match with you here in terms of optimism, because. The way you described our wonderful squad so glowingly, I think I must have been watching a different team this season.
Well, Ben can co-host the show with me every week now, David.
No, that's fine. Listen, Ben, we need all sorts on this show, mate. With people who are negative, optimistic, like Ruiz, hate Ruiz, whatever. I mean, you know, I don't hate Ruiz. I think he's a very talented player, as you'll know if you read my article. It's just the system doesn't seem to work for him. But, no, Ben, I think that's great. But I just don't share your optimism, unfortunately, because I don't think we're as good as you think we are. But anyway, for me, yeah.
Go ahead, David.
Bettinelli in goal, obviously. Right back, if he's fit, I would have Hoogland back in. We need a bit of fight and everything. And a bit of height in the team would be good, because they've got some tall players. Obviously, if not Hoogland, I would give Grimmer a go, because Richards had a couple of games and hasn't done much. But Hoogland, hopefully. Still going to be Hutchison and Bodaroff. Kept a clean sheet. Why change it? Stafelidis at left back. Okay, across the middle. This is where it gets interesting. On the left, I will have Kakanić just, because he did do well on Saturday. Although I do think that Kavanagh deserved a chance as well, so I wouldn't be upset with either of them. But Kakalicic, to give us a bit more attacking mindedness, to double up and protect Stafelidis. On the right, Tunnicliffe to protect the right back, and I saw a couple of moves for him playing a bit wide on Saturday, and I thought he looked okay, albeit on the wrong side, so he can do it on the right as well. In the middle, three in the middle, Parker to hold, and this is definitely not a diamond, Parker to hold, and Fofana and LVC either side to push forward. And low man up front, Ross McCormack, just for this game. Have Ruiz on the bench, have Cawley on the bench, have you know, Lionel Messi on the bench. Have anyone you want on the bench you can think of if it all goes wrong. But start with that. So you've got five across the middle. Three
okay.
central midfielders for strength. Two wide players for strength. And with the brief for LVC and Fofana to get forward as much as possible to support Ross McCormack, along with Tony Cliff and Kakalicis on the wings.
Okay, interesting. Interesting. So, again, you know, different approaches. I have a feeling you both will be wrong with what Kit decides to go with. But,
oh, yeah.
No, I mean, being honest, but that's the way that I want your ideas on what you would do. And I actually like what both of you have shared here, because again, I could see either one of your formations in your lineups working, and I wish Kit would take up either one of yours. David, maybe he's listening. I don't know.
No, we don't want to upset people on Twitter again who think that we really believe he listens and gets his tactics from us.
Yeah, I don't think he does. I don't think he gets his tactics from us, to be honest with you.
That would be very scary.
That would be scary.
If Kit does listen and gets his tactics from us and we are effectively managing the team, that would be a very, very dangerous and scary and worrying situation.
Well, of course, you did hear on the last show, I did say that, you know, our friend Mimi should be involved.
Yeah, I think, I'm not going to go there, Russ, but Mimi only said what I said on the Friday show, and so that means I should be involved as well then. Maybe a partnership, maybe me and Mimi as joint managers.
Wow. I don't think, something tells me you guys wouldn't get along, but that's okay. All right.
I have Yanis' support, remember. We have Yanis.
Yes,
Yanis,
I have to be honest with you, David, before I go to predictions. The fact that Yanis has your support was just truly mind-numbing. When I saw the email and he said he would make David Hulley manager, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. But that just tells you how desperate the situation is, David.
Yanis has obviously read my article and realizes that I do have kind of general tactical understanding of the situation.
Okay. All right, guys, before I get your predictions and we wrap up the show, I'll give you the predictions from the Fulham supporters that are on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. So let's start here. Johnny Smith says 3-0 to Wolves. Simon Rugg says 3-1 to Wolves. Colin Bugler says, I predicted that I'll be shouting at the radio computer for 90 minutes. That's all he says. Roger Lewis says, now Diamond 3-0 to Wolves. Wide 4-4-2, 3-1 to Wolves. Very interesting there, Roger. Alan Hammersley says, unfortunately, 4-0 to Wolves. Brendan Cronin, 3-0 Wolves. Russ, Wolves will destroy us on the wings. Can see them terrorizing our defense. Okay. Reg Hollis, 8-1 to Wolves. Al Russell, 4-0 to Wolves. And Thea Evans, our friend from New Zealand. Wolves scoring for fun, optimistically 3-0 to Wolves. Russ, optimistically 3-3 with McCormack scoring a hat-trick. I like that, Anthea. You know how I want to see a Ross McCormack hat-trick. Andy Fulham, FC Newland, has 2-0 to Fulham. And Tarmina Rahman says, I'm hoping for a 2-1 win. Oh, one more. Alex Lowy has 2-0 to Wolves. So the majority of fans are predicting Wolves to win convincingly. All right, David, give me your prediction.
I don't feel so bad now because Kit obviously doesn't listen to us. And he probably will play the diamond. It will be narrow and we'll get beaten. And I was going to say 2-0 to Wolves as well.
Okay, 2-0 to Wolves. Ben, how about yourself?
Wow. I was just about to say David was going to be upset that I was actually quite upset about this game and was a little pessimistic. But now I feel really optimistic saying that, you know, we've drawn twice. I don't think we're going to arrest on winning slump. And we're gonna draw 1-1. That feels like sheer optimism now, doesn't it?
1-1. I like that. I like that, Ben. It's funny because I wrote down the same score. David, maybe I do have this, you know, this camaraderie with Ben, because I as well are going to predict 1-1. And guess who I'm going to predict is going to score the goal, David?
Steve Sidwell.
Steve Sidwell. Wow, there's a name that David really likes. I'm going to say Ross McCormack's going to score a goal.
From now on, he's going to be called Russ McCormack, I think.
right. All right. Good stuff. Great show, guys. Great show. Let's wrap up the show. Before we go, Ben, please tell everyone how that they can reach you on Twitter.
They can get me at FFC by the river.
And do you have a website too?
I don't have a website. I write for a number of websites. I don't recommend it, to be honest, Ross. It's nonsense, optimistic nonsense.
Okay. All right. Well, you said you write for many different websites. Do you want to mention those?
Yeah, okay. Well, you can find me at the Premier League Owl, who I heavily recommend anyway, and currently you can find me at Viva El Fulham occasionally.
Occasionally, okay. And David, I can always find you on College Talk with me, but you actually just wrote a very interesting article on collegesconfidential.sbnation.com. And David, as I mentioned to you, last time I looked, you went over 1,700 views for that article. So a great first article for you, David.
Do you know what? I typed Brian Ruiz and Kit Simons into Google, and it came out top in my article I looked the other day. So I guess there's probably a lot of people found it by random. The problem I have now is I've been thinking, how do I top this? You know, obviously you said it was a good article, and I appreciate that people enjoyed it and have given me good praise for it. But I've got to do something else now. I've got to come up with some other wonderful article, haven't I, now, just to show it wasn't a one-off, really.
That's right, so, David. David, you're going to have to come up with a sequel, so good luck to you.
I will. It'll have to be my From Russia With Love, won't it?
That's right, David. That's right. Oh, by the way, Ben, we started the show talking James Bond because there was a James Bond marathon on yesterday, just so you know.
Was there really? When was that?
Yeah.
Which films? Why did I miss that?
We were just talking about, I watched From Russia With Love. Goldfinger was on. For Your Eyes Only was on. It was on, here in America, it was on MGM HD. And they had five Bond films on.
That is a fantastic evening in. Much better than watching.
Absolutely. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And just so you know, and again, before we go, because I'm such a James Bond fan, David, favorite James Bond movie of all time, go.
Oh, I don't know.
Come on, David,
Casino
go.
Casino Royale, actually. Casino Royale.
Casino Royale, wow. Ben, how about yourself?
Sheer cheesy value, Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die. I love Live and Let Die. I'm going to go with You Only Live Twice. That's my favorite James Bond movie of all time. A classic Sean Connery movie, and he's my favorite Bond. Just right back to Ben, favorite Bond.
Live and Let Die.
No, favorite Bond actor, I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh, they're all so different. Sean Connery.
Sean Connery. David, favorite James Bond?
Oh, it's got to be a tie at the moment between Connery and Craig. They're both good. And as a great film that was panned at the time, but when you think about it now, Honor and Majesty's Secret Service was also a great film. It was just because
George Lazenby.
He wasn't well received, but it was a great film when you look at it.
Wow, you're pulling them all out there. George Lazenby, wow. All right, guys, enough talking about James Bond, but I'm just a huge fan, so if anyone ever wants to talk James Bond with me, feel free to. Before we go, just a reminder, you can download College Talk on iTunes and on the Stitcher Radio app, which is available on the iPhone, iPad, and the Android. Also, you can now listen to College Talk on the TuneIn app, which is available at most app stores for your mobile device. Before we go, Ben, thank you so much for doing the show again. You were fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me. Always
okay,
a pleasure.
Fantastic. And David, are you going to the match tomorrow?
No, I'm afraid I've voted with my feet in pocket as well, and it's just one too many for me. So, sorry, but Ben, good to talk to you again, and I enjoy the debates.
You,
and I'm going to sign out with my name's Hully, David Hully.
Oh, God. Okay, well, that's it for the show. What a great way to end it. For David Hully and Ben Weeks, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you again for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, guys.
Thanks. See ya. Boys and girls, London calls.